Okay, everyone, I think we're ready to begin.
Oh my God.
I'm Michael Moore. I'm a tour coordinator here, but I'm here today to introduce our speaker for Sundays with Andy. I mean, Sundays with the Modern, sorry. I had a flashback to the spring.
Bam!
So welcome. In this series, we invite prominent art historians, artists, curators, and scholars to speak on selected works on view. The series continues weekly through the end of January, with the exception of Christmas and New Year's holidays. Next week, we welcome Dr. Francis Colpitt, the D.D. Potter Rose Chair of Art History at TCU. A further list of speakers is available at themodern.org. Our speaker today is Mike Yarbrough. Mike is a Fort Worth native who received a BFA from the University of North Texas. He was a member of Denton's notorious Good Bad Art Collective. He lives and works here in Fort Worth. His work has been described as delicate and forceful at the same time, and he's shown widely in the area and in New York. Some of you may have seen his work in February of this year in the exhibition Modern Ruin. His work is included in a show this weekend at Marty that opens this weekend at Marty Walker, sculptural collaborations with Elliot Johnson. Mike Yarbrough.
Hi. Thanks for the opportunity, Terry and Michael. This is going to be really interesting, I'll say that. I'm not sure how much of a tour this is going to be, because I made a few decisions this morning at about 5:30 a.m. That are going to probably directly affect what and how we talk about this guy. Well, let's just go look at stuff. Let's at least get in it so we're not standing out here. Well, this stuff looks important, right? Looks really good. It's real big. I think because of that, there's probably a lot more qualified and smarter people than I that have probably broken this down for these groups in the past and will continue to do so until the show comes down. So what I decided to do is take a little bit of a different walk with my experiences with Vernon, because that's really the only thing that I can speak with any sort of authority on. So I really wanted to talk about him a little bit as the effects that he's had on, I'm sorry, I'm going to play the artist card and talk about myself a little bit, so I'll try not to be too, vain, but basically the effects that he had on me as a professor, and maybe that's probably something that's not going to come through in the work necessarily, and I really, really hope that it comes through for you, through me, because I have a tendency of being really vague and take a lot of tangents, which I guess tangents would be good for this show anyway, so I'm not too worried about it. So, that being said, I guess I will start by talking about a little bit about just a recent revelation that I had at the lecture or the interview with Vernon and Francis Colpitt, where he talked about it's the first time I ever really thought about him being a person, because he talked about his childhood he's kind of like similar to David Bowie in a few ways. Like, you just kind of feel like he fell from space, and like then he's just kind of there. And imagining young Vernon is like kind of a really fun to do. He had this little, he told this little anecdote about like how like art to him growing up was like something that he found in the back of an encyclopedia. And I really like to think that young Vernon, who looks exactly like himself but proportioned like a child, was looking for something really cool and intellectual, and like tripped over something by Charles Russell or something, went whoa, you know, I don't know, like, so and so in that way I really like also to think about him having come at art from in a completely opposite direction than the way I did. Like, it's almost like he Well, I mean, he did. I mean, he was obviously inside of an encyclopedia, so he's probably reading something, you know, and he came at it from literature and then moved into art, you know, whereas, like, I did exactly the opposite, you know. He spoke a little of his childhood as being kind of, I think he said idyllic, and I'm going to try to stick to that guy's words because I'm being recorded for perpetuity on some sort of thing. I don't want to sound too much like a moron, but and I find that interesting because he grew up in Granbury, which was, like, of course, a lot smaller or whatever. And so I imagine this, like, kind of rural existence for this guy. And this will come into play a little later. I'll try to wrap this all up where it makes some sense. But, you know, and my experiences were completely different because I realized, like, I was kind of raised here in town, in Fort Worth, and my father was, you know, he went to TCU and was an artist as well, and so I got a lot of this place growing up. Like, I have some experiences with some of the permanent collection that are, like, 30 years deep now, and that's kind of weird to think about. You know, so I feel like I was constantly, like, you know, at too young of an age, like, my dad's talking to me about, like, Joseph Albers and stuff, and it just piled on, and I think it made some sense to me at the time, and I think maybe it finally, all that kind of finally came together, again at 5:30 this morning, so where I finally realized, like, oh, okay, and now I know what you're talking about. You know, I went through school and everything and didn't think about it, but let me collect myself. I was kind of talking a little bit about him as a youth. So, I think one of my first experiences with Vernon has to do with my prop that I brought today, which, you kids at home don't get. Because I spent a lot of time here at the museum, and when I was really, you know, when I started having my own folding cash, I would go and buy silly catalogs and books at the museum store. And this one's from 1990, and it's from the Modern Art Museum, Fort Worth Press. And it's 40 Texas Printmakers. And, you know, there's a lot of people in here, like, you know, Judy Youngblood, people you'd still know, and, you know, Lee Smith, blah, blah, blah. And since I've been recovering, anybody that might know me here, I've been sort of recovering my childhood recently, and which all of it is now in boxes at my house as of, like, a month ago, which is really strange. So I've been going through these boxes, and I found this catalog, and I flipped through it, and I got really excited because there was something I had remembered about Vernon that I forgot, which was that in this catalog, you know, there's a picture of Vernon and a picture of his print, And the artists all have a picture of themselves and a picture of their print, and they all have little blurbs under them where they say something. And this jerk, he doesn't have anything. Like, and I remember being like 15 years old and going, man, what a jerk, you know, but then thinking, like, wow, that's really cool, you know, because unlike me and the fact that I'm getting stuck with this recording of myself on the interweb for any cool person to hear, he didn't have to claim or fess up to anything, and it's in print, and it's still like that even now, and I think that's pretty neat. You know, so that's probably my first experience with him, like, just visually. And then I remember when the Modern had they had the annex in downtown Fort Worth, which was, like, in an old building on Terry, what street was it? Do you remember? Yeah, I think it was over in the Sundance Square area, and they had, I believe it's around the corner, they had the piece that's in there, and I had just started college, and I knew at some point that I was going to be taking classes from him, and so I saw it, and I went, oh, crap, you know, and kind of lost all the feeling in my legs, because, man, it... you can say what you want about the work. Like, it's really hard to see a lot of technical prowess come at you like that. And if you've looked at any of these things, in fact, let's take a spin and see if we can see it so it's not, I'm not being so vague. I believe it was this piece, and he did this in 95, and the first thing I immediately did is like kind of look at the architecture of the back of it. It's really cool, you know, and the fact that it's, you know, it's blackboard slate, which, you know, I tend to like things that are temporal and don't last very long, and I remember seeing this thinking like, oh, what a genius, he used like blackboard, he can change it later if he wants to, you know, and like that, I thought that was really cool. But then I'm, you know, so I saw this thing and I was like, okay, wow, I'm about to take, this guy probably knows how to do stuff. He can obviously paint, you know, all the little paintings, they always look really good, you know, on the bigger ones. So I walk into class, I guess it was around 95 when I had my first class with him. And I walk into class not really knowing what to expect. And this this thing from space comes in with khakis and a sweatshirt and really kind of sensible athletic shoes, which I thought was kind of also interesting to think about him like bounding over something. And then he proceeds to sit down on a chair, and, you know, with, of course, with authority, and, you know, it looked pretty magnificent, sitting down in a chair in front of us in the painting studio. And he had his reading glasses on a shoestring, a hot pink shoestring, that that said, "Don't have a cow, man," all a million times all around it. And I think it was that point in my life where, you know, because I was born and kind of raised with art and had art around in my life, I was never really scared of the idea of being an artist until that point. Because he just looked cool. And the things that came out of his mouth just sort of kind of washed over me like and broke on my brain like rocks, you know. I couldn't even handle it for like years after that, just because I wasn't ready for that kind of the guy's an intellectual guy, he's smart, and you know, that's a pretty cool thing, that if you can do something like this and then you can break it down for somebody so eloquently and maybe even with like some sort of tongue-in-cheek joke in it where you can't tell if you're getting fucked with or not. It's really cool, you know. And but it's also completely, like, it can also be completely devastating. And with that, I want to move down over here, which is probably my favorite piece in the show. And it's my favorite piece for a weird reason, but so, people have probably this. I think this thing is. It's even up on the website. I think it's. It seems pretty silly to talk about. I don't really want to talk about it very much, about it itself, but just kind of to use it to talk about my next little story about my first solo critique with this guy. It was kind of like this. Anybody that has ever been in the University of North Texas Art Building, their offices for their professors are like, I want to say they're smaller than they actually are, but they're not very large, and they have all the same charm as like a maybe a minimal security prison cell. Like they had these like really narrow windows that are just like kind of off kilter on one side of the wall, and of course you couldn't squeeze your body through it, so, and it has safety glass on the front. So when you walk into that room and you're like a, you know, a 20, 21 or 20 year old idiot, and you have to sit in a tiny room with a pretty tall, smart guy, it kind of feels like that. And especially when you when you're full of really, really dumb ideas. For the people at home, this is the bikini painting. So I'm sitting on the other side of this guy, and he, you know, like I said, he starts to say a bunch of words to me that over time have just become like, you know, peanuts, you know, trumpet squawking. I still can't remember half the things that he said to me. Because it took me just a long time to get to where I am now, in the brain department. But I remember we were talking. I remember a specific story. We were talking about something I had done in his class in a previous semester, and this was my first critique of hybrid forms, which was a class that he was behind at North Texas, which was a kind of, for lack of a better word, sort of like. It was the postmodern class. It was like multimedia, new materials, new concepts. So you could make, you know, it was an excuse to make stuff or, you know, do things that maybe you wouldn't be able to do or it was frowned upon in your painting classes. So if you had video ideas or whatever, you could do them. So I had done, back to the story, I'd done this previous large-scale painting with a friend of mine in a painting class, and it was a collaboration, and man, it was really terrible. I mean, it was a terrible painting, and I remember him telling, I remember we were talking, and he was asking what I was thinking about doing for the semester in hybrid forms, and he says, and I say, well, I was thinking about doing more collaborations, and he just had this amazing smile came across his face, and he was like, wow, that's a really bad idea. And I was like, oh yeah, why is that? And he said, well, you did something with Sean last semester, right? And I said, Sean Slattery, by the way, who I will throw under the bus since he's in Vegas anyway. So he goes, you did that piece with Sean, right? And I said, yes. And he goes, well, that was a big piece of shit, wasn't it? And I was like, well, yeah. You know, that's kind of why I want to try more of that this semester. And, you know, he frowned at it and was like, well, you know, whatever. And so I immediately took that as like, oh, I'm only going to do collaborations all semester long. Like, and which I actually did some of my own stuff and, you know, whatever, came to some decisions on my own about my own things. But I did more collaborations. And by the end of the semester, we had that same meeting and I'm sitting looking at this painting on the other side of the room from me. And he goes, you know what, I think you should try doing some more collaborations. Those are really good. And I was like, oh, man. So I guess that's what I mean about, like, about him being a real influence on me in some ways, in a lot of ways as an artist, like directly and indirectly. He's really, really, really good at being able to take something that you are not able to vocalize and say it back to you and then make you commit to it and then take it apart in front of your face. You know, so it's really good. It's really good training to have that happen. Which in a lot of ways, in terms of making work now, I have to, and I would say this for a lot of the people that took classes with him, people that were in Good Bad, people that I know, a lot of his students, I would say, I mean, I don't know anything about, you know, proportions of people who go to school and keep making art after school, but maybe I just went to school at a magic time. A lot of the people that I know from those classes and from people that took classes from Vernon still either make work now or they're heavily invested in some form of that, you know, and I think that's a real, like, you know, you got to give it to the dude for that. I mean, I think he's probably, even though he might not take credit for it, he's probably indirectly responsible for how a lot of us think. And I think the way that is we kind of, through taking classes with him, we took, you know, you have a lot of things introduced to you, like literature. You know, it was the first time I ever read a bunch of stuff. Like the first time I read Invisible Dragon by Dave Hickey, and, you know, it tells you to go out and buy it and read it. And, you know, first time. So let me try to pull it together here. Trying to start to space out. But I guess what I'm saying is that we analyze each other and ourselves at probably a higher degree than maybe we were expecting when we went to school. At least that's for me, that's my experience. And why, you know, I was suddenly afraid of becoming an artist. It's like, you know, you have to be able to back your noise up, you know, and represent and at least come at it with some sort of like power, you know, even if you don't speak it. I guess he, it's going to take a second. I want to say real quick, one of the reasons I like this thing, I have to admit, when I first saw this show, I kind of blew through it real quick because, you know, I've seen a lot of Vernon's work now, and so when I see things in them, I can go, oh, there's a parachute, you know, and like, you know, and put a joke together in my head. Or I can go, oh, I see a lot of these things that he uses over and over. So I tend to kind of blow through it and all these, you know, just let these, like, all these pictures wash over me. But this one, the bikini picture, ended up being really great for a different reason for me, because I was standing in here looking at it because it's, you know, it's art. You know, it's kind of undeniable. It's real big. And you have to put it somewhere. It might as well be on a really big wall. And so it's kind of commanding because of that. But the thing that made it really good, it reminded me of an experience I had at the Old Modern, I don't know what show it was, but it was sometime in the mid to late 90s, and I don't know who curated it, but they need a medal. There were these two Robert Gober pieces like that I always liked, and one was the jail cell window, where it was up there, and one is this big sculpture of butter. And whoever put the show together had this genius idea. If anybody was ever at the Old Modern space, there was kind of these stairs that you go down. There's this really big room where they used to have Ruckus Rodeo. But then you turn the corner and there's this really strange box that's like kind of got this door. And it's a really tall room and it's really dark. So both of those pieces were installed in there. And so you look in the room and there's a jail cell window. And then there is a stick of butter in the middle of the floor. And like the two of those pieces ended up making like the best thing I've ever seen Robert Gover do. And I was there at the time with another friend of mine who's probably the most intelligent guy I know, Elliot Johnson. And he, we started joking about renaming the piece like the Ghost of Butter in Jail, and like trying to get them to only install it like that all the time. Anyway. So I had a similar experience with this bikini piece in that, like, so I'm looking at it, and like most things, when I'm looking at artwork, I'm usually thinking about other stuff. So, you know, I'm looking at this giant mushroom cloud, thinking that there's a flower blooming somewhere else in the world. And then a slide whistle plays from the Kong exhibit, which, you know, in case you guys don't know, a slide whistle is just automatic comedy. And, you know, it just goes... You know, and it went off, and I almost lost my mind. It was the best thing I've ever seen, and I really think that maybe Vernon should think about that—a slide whistle with this thing. It looks, but see, that's great. That's timing too. I wish I could have planned that out. So let's go to another place. I'm kind of tired of looking at that thing. Maybe there's one with less people and less noises. Let's just go to the end over here and stand by some taxidermy. I just want to stand under a branch. It's pretty cool. I guess I'll just kind of... talking about, again, going back to Vernon's childhood, and him having this rural experience, and sort of dealing with art in that direction, and talking about my own experience, I realized, just this week, as I've been thinking about things and trying to think about things to talk about, that I kind of ended up sort of, how people will tell you these stories about growing up in small towns, and my dad would talk about it, and him carrying his 22 rifle through the streets, and being six and nobody cares, and thinking that I would never have that experience. And I have to admit, I think I might have a similar experience in that, because I was dealing with art so young, that I kind of inadvertently had this a similar experience of maybe that, handling a gun at too young an age, because I was so comfortable with it that I didn't think about its power until I started taking classes from Vernon. And then you have that, he's like, oh, okay, well, that's what art can be, this. And, and then you go, oh, crud, I've just been playing with that for a long time. I haven't really thought about what I was doing with it. I've just been fortunate that I haven't hurt anybody yet. And so I guess, hearing him talk about that, and finally seeing some of the stuff that's in his work, Howdy Doody, and and just thinking, and finally realizing that if Ernie Bushmiller hadn't done a Nancy cartoon, this guy would have been fucked, and it kind of brought him back to the level of being a person and sort of really getting a new perspective on this work. And and seeing all this work in one space, like I was sort of joking about before, it really looks important, and it's here because it is. You don't have to like it to, or be into everything to realize how much the tendrils of his mind go out to other places. And and thinking about tiny Vernon reading in an encyclopedia, and thinking about old Vernon sitting in a studio, amassing this army of shit that will hit you in the face at one point one day. It's a lot of work. It guy makes a lot of stuff, and that's really cool to see. And as thinking about things when we're in classes with him, and thinking about art being out of school, which I've been out for 10 plus years now, those thought processes that he helped instill really affect a lot of us in different ways. And in me, he definitely, I even took a 5-year hiatus from making much stuff because, it wasn't quite 5 years, but it was pretty close. But because I finally understood, if I'm going to make something, it's really good to be able to commit to it. And it's really good to be able to, take it as far as you can possibly take it. And, and I probably do a lot of that. And it can be stifling. Like I said, I took that 5-year break because of that, because you don't want to produce anything that's, you're really scared to produce a piece of crap for people to see. And, and getting over that is kind of a big deal. And, and I think I had to do some of that, but that's just me personally. Sorry for being so vain again. But that's sort of what he did for me. And is that too short, you guys? I mean, if anybody have any questions, ooh, dead. Yeah. Oh, go ahead.
brought up all of this stuff about you and experience. And do you think that that has to do with the power of the work, or do you think that has to do with your relationship with Vernon? Are they inseparable, or what?
No, I think it's the work. I really do, because I can't imagine, I don't know if I would say if I had a relationship with Vernon other than I took some classes from him. You know, there's a distance there for sure. And so I think that the work is kind of what did it. And seeing, like I was saying just a few minutes ago, like, the amount of work and the amount of things that he did, and how good, for the most part, all of that is. You know, that's if you're making work, it's kind of an impressive sight. You know, and especially if it's so cohesive like this. I mean, he kind of goes all over the map. You know, there's a really silly spiral painting behind you guys, and then over here there's a tree with a raccoon in it and a really silly black box. You know, and it's in the same room. He's able to, you know, he's been able to kind of skirt through a lot of different things and kind of make it his own every time. And I think that's really, you know, is that kind of what you were talking about? I mean, that's just the experience that I had. So I'm, of course, like a really vain person. And I'm going to apply it directly to myself, you know, and making stuff. Yeah, I think that. What's that?
Well, I think it's very, you know, you talk about the direct relationship as a student. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think it's really great to talk about that. Mm-hmm. I've heard it this time before, I think it's really well. And having sort of watched the last thing about the for about 6 years, there's a bunch of, I don't know how many otherwise, but there's a bunch of artists who are doing it.
Just to answer the last part first, I've never really felt the desire to compete with him or match him in that kind of way. Yeah. Well, I gotta admit, I really like the idea that all this happened in town, you know, and it happened here, and it goes other places, and it represents, you know, I don't know. I'm really big into regionalism. I think it's important, like, you know, and that people are where they came from and do things, you know, close to home. And I don't know why Vernon chose to stay here and do those things. And, you know, and it doesn't really matter, but I think that's a really cool thing. So, you know, for me, I think staying under the radar is kind of a cool thing in general, because, you know, it's really cool. It's just a cool thing to think about for me.
That way of being non-regional, that way of being subversing the lack of expectation of a regional city.
Hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know.
It's very cool, you know, like your counterparts in Germany or whatever, it's kind of cool.
Well, right. Well, yeah, but at the same time, I don't know if it matters. Like, you know, I think just to apply this again to music, it's like think about the Flaming Lips. If anybody's ever heard the Flaming Lips, like, that's from Oklahoma. It's like, what other than that, and the largest, like, you know, McDonald's is in Oklahoma. I mean, no offense to anybody from Oklahoma, but, you know, it's the only reason Texas doesn't float out into the Gulf. But I just like the idea that bigger ideas can come from small places or places that transcend the areas that they're from. And I mean that in a way like, you know, you could hang this stuff in other cities, in other places, and it doesn't scream like, oh, it came from Fort Worth. It's just the idea that it did, you know. And that's maybe more of a personal thing, but, you know, it can stand on its own other places. It's strong enough to move beyond just this area, you know. But at the same time, it's like giving reverence to the area for me. I don't know. Yeah. Maybe. Yeah. Yeah. And you said something else at the beginning that I was going to respond to, and I can't remember. Oh yeah. I mean, Ed Blackburn's a genius too, in a completely different way, you know. And that I think I went to UNT when there were a lot of really smart people in different ways, and you know, in Falsetta, and I think they all had things to offer and give to me. I think that I just got fear out of Vernon's classes. I didn't get fear anywhere else, you know, and. So, you know, they offered, maybe those other professors offered me the right kind of comfort that I needed to get over that. Yeah, I don't know. So.
I was going to ask you, was he, how aware was he of the new
I don't, you know, I don't know.
Did
I think, yeah, he came out to some stuff. Yeah.
Did he ever talk about it in class?
Just to say that it was happening. Like, he would start out classes, like, I remember when we were doing hybrid forms, like he would say, "Hey, if you guys haven't seen anything really cool, you should go check out like the Good Bad Art Collective. It's here. You should go look at it." Okay, you know, and move on to something else, you know. And he would say that to people that weren't involved. And but you know, he came out a couple of times, not often, that I saw. He might have done sneak views or come in some sort of. Or come in a spaceship and was invisible, and it's possible. But.
Do you think there's anything that I'm thinking? I'm with Richard. I don't think you're saying about yourself and your experience with being a student as far as Burns, because I think, in fact, for me, and maybe I'm the cousin, it gives a lot of insight into the work, because there seems to be a relationship between kind of holding back, providing.
I don't know. That's a really I try not to think about that stuff. I'll be honest. Like I try to as much as I'm talking about how his stuff has affected me and everything and all that. Like I usually also try to even with my pals. And it's another trait that he gave to me is I try to divorce my relationship to them to giving a critique about what I'm looking at. You know, so, and there's which can be detrimental in some ways because you're not afraid to say, you just made a piece of junk, you know, but I love you and let's go have dinner, you know, but I guess because of that, you know, there's things in here I like and there's things in here I don't like and personally, and so I just try to view it, you know, as something else, I think, different way. There's choice. Oh, I'm sorry.
Mike, I was going to ask, when Vernon was talking about like how he made art,
mm-hmm.
kind of going through school, his undergrad experience in the graduate experience,
mm-hmm.
he was all about just being left alone.
Right.
He was in the studio
right.
for 2 years.
Right.
And is that kind of how he worked with you at UNT, or was there more like kind of instructional?
I don't know. That's the one thing I'll say. I don't think there was any instruction at all. Like it wasn't like he was offering some sort of like, you know, it's just kind of like he would listen to you, give you some tips and some tools, and then you just kind of like do what you were going to do with it, and then he'd tell you about how it didn't work, you know, or what, why you messed up or how you messed up. Yeah, well, not the piece. Like, that's what I'm saying in a broad sense. I think it was very broad. Like, it was like kind of like, you know, in critiques, we would talk about, like, in groups, we would talk about people's stuff and break things down. I think it was the critique that was more the instruction, like talking about why things work, what makes this work, why is this not work, why, you know, and by doing all that stuff, again, you apply it to yourself, and it's just like, so when you start looking at your own work, you're like, what is this doing? Why is this here? You know, whose idea was this anyway? Like, maybe I should stop. That's the kind of thing that I got out of his classes that was in terms of instruction, you know. And no, I think that people should be tougher. I'm a firm believer in a hard, hammered hand. Like, you know, like, it's just like, if there shouldn't be little signs on gas pumps that say don't drink gasoline. If you drink gasoline, like, thin the herd out, like, let it go. You're out. You know, I mean, I think it's the same thing in class. Like, it's kind of cool to, I mean, it's hard, but it's kind of fun to develop a thick skin, I think. You know, and I think being able to do that, if, you know, you can get over a lot of other things and take maybe real criticism a little bit easier. Because you're going to get it later on if you decide to be an artist.
It was Shell gas station in Boston, West 4th Street. Uh-huh. And then you come to the little section
where you put that, you know, uh-huh. Right. There's... yeah. See, that's gold. I love that. Right. You need to go look at it. No, he'd call you out. Yeah, and it depended on what time it was, or, you know, whatever. I don't know how that dude works, but you know, it'd be different. You never quite knew, which was another great thing about it, is like you never really knew what side you were gonna get, which is cool too, because then you have to be ready for it. So. That would definitely. I mean, that's. Well, literature is full of rules.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's full of rules, and then you have to, and plus it's a concrete thing. It's like, if you write something and you punctuate it, and your punctuation is wrong, you blew it. You know, I mean, it's like, that. I'm sure he applies that directly. I mean, there's punctuation in the show. I mean, he knows what all that stuff means, and I think him having that sort of development, as, you know, from a literary background, makes him even more scary when he can apply that to something in an art, for art, you know, I mean, because he's going to take all of this that he knows how literature works and apply it directly onto, and it, you know, it fits pretty well. You can make art do that same stuff and have those little lines and rules and things, and I think he likes to do that, and he's really good at it. So, is that it?
Thanks.
Thanks.